right back to the baritone.
Yep. Well, that's the first song I wanted to do is on that one. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm ready when you are, man.
I'm all set to go. All
right, cool.
Said you just wanted me to play under you?
Yeah, please, for a second. Yeah. Yeah, but now I'm into listening to you play. I don't want to talk. No, go ahead, keep playing.
Okay, I got you.
I have to introduce you.
Sounds good.
So, this is John. This is home from here. Hold on, I'm going to check the level one more time.
Okay. Feel better?
Much better now.
There we go. See, that was me this morning.
Right.
Oh, much better. Now I gotta run.
So, this is John. This is home from here, and I am with a new but good friend, Connor Walsh.
Hey there, John. It's really I'm really happy to be here with you. This is a lot of fun. You were just on my show. Now I'm on your show. I love it.
Your show. First off, that's a radio voice, right? Did you hear that, everybody? That's what I'm supposed to sound like.
You sound good.
Oh no, thanks. Yeah, your show is a blast to do. Well, first off, we should say we met for the Lifted Project.
Yes.
Connor's a big deal around here. He was kind enough to cover the project before and then again after. And he had me on his show and we did 20 minutes and it was a lot of fun and I learned how to do this. So I'm probably better now.
You've been doing this for a while. You had plenty of skills. You came in, you were great. So
thanks, man. But yeah. Hey, you were fantastic on the Lifted Project.
Thank you.
We told the story on my interview, but we should probably tell it here.
Yeah, let's do it.
I asked Connor, we had a guy who had to drop out. And I didn't know Connor. I would have asked you 8 months before.
No worries.
But we had a guy who had to drop out, and I read the interview, and so I looked at who's this Connor Walsh guy, and I'm like, holy shit, he's a musician. He's good. So I'm like, okay, the universe is bringing me something good. Might as well take advantage of it. So I wrote him maybe 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And said, hey, if you're not busy tomorrow, do you want to sing a song?
I think it was Friday, 2 days before. I think you gave me 2 days' notice.
Are you sure?
I think it was 2 days.
I think it was one.
Was it only one?
It was one day.
Jeez. All right.
And I texted him, or I emailed him first, and then we start texting. I'm like, hey, if you want to learn a song in a day and then sing it in front of a sold-out airport, I'm your guy. And Connor said, yeah, I would be very happy to do that. And crushed it, by the way.
I was one in a whole chorus, but, you know, it was fun. I knew my stuff. I've been in enough choruses. I know what it's like to try to record something with a bunch of people. I was just trying to make it as easy for you as possible.
Well, you did. Thank you very
much. One less person you had to worry about.
So what's your life story, man?
Okay, so my life story. It all started, well, if we really want to talk about it, 9 months before November 12th, 1990. So it's actually funny with that. You know, kids used to tease me. It was like, oh, you're a November baby, so you know what your parents were doing on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And you know, kids would tease me about that. So I went home one day and I said to my folks, it's like, kids just keep saying this about Valentine's Day and I'm sick of it. And my mom goes, well, we found out you were coming on Valentine's Day. I was like, damn it, there's actually a connection.
Ooh.
There's actually a real connection.
That's funny.
But no, that's
you
it's
from
cool.
around here?
From Poughkeepsie, born and raised. Okay. Went to Hyde Park Schools. Grew up going to St. Peter's Catholic School, K through 8. Jesus Christ. And then I went to FDR after that, thank God. And then I went to College of St. Rose to study music industry. Rest in peace, St. Rose. They just had their final graduation.
Oh.
They're closing down. It's insane. But it was really something. I didn't expect to be there for everything. I just kind of wanted to wash my hands of everything.
Right.
But it was amazing because so many things just kept bringing me back. First, I was hired on to do like a sound gig for the Interfaith Sanctuary that they had there a couple weeks before the semester ended. And that was gorgeous. And then my former roommate hits me up. He was graduating grad school and he was like, guys, I want you there. You're my New York family. He's from California, but it's like, I need my New York family there. So I was like, sure. So I didn't plan on going to the graduation. I go to the graduation, and it's like, it was so surreal. Mm-hmm. And then they had an alumni event that they hit us months ago. It's like, oh, do you want to go to this? It's like, I'm not going to this. I don't want to do anything a part of this. They hire me for sound, so I'm there for like half the thing. And it's crazy because, you know, those things where you're like, you're not sure if you want to be there. You're not sure if you're willing to be open and vulnerable enough to it because it's a sensitive subject. Your alma mater is closing. It's like, that hits you. But I'm glad that I went because it really was such a cathartic experience. And I got to see people who, you know, no offense to any of them, I hadn't thought about in a little while, but it was like one of those things where out of sight, out of mind, but as soon as you saw them, it's like, oh my God, I love these people. Mm-hmm. And it was just so sweet. A lot of hugs, a lot of tears, a lot of laughs.
Wow.
And I'm glad that I went through all of it. And it just doesn't feel like that chapter's over. But I guess that's because there's still thousands of us Golden Knights running around, and you know that spirit's going to live on regardless.
There's a lot of Catholic going on there.
So St. Rose is not a Catholic school anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's not. It used to be.
Okay.
I don't consider myself Catholic anymore.
Do you practice religion?
I do practice religion. I would say I'm Christian. Kind of. I describe myself as an agnostic kind of Christian.
Where tell me a little more.
I believe that there's a God.
Right.
I believe in all that, but I don't like the institutions.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that's pissed me off. I've I was an altar server. I was a sacristan. I was very heavily involved in my church for a very long time, and we had several scandals, you know, in my church, and I saw with other people as well. And it just so disenfranchised me, and
same.
It pissed me off.
Same.
You know, we had, well, our pastor, Father Garisto, I shouldn't even call him father, but it came out a couple of years ago, he was molesting a bunch of kids, you know, so it's like, and that was happening right under our noses. That could have been me.
Right.
It easily could have been me.
Right.
So, you know, that really pissed me off. There was a lot of issues when it came to money with the church, too. There was just a lot of things that pissed me off. And, you know, faith is divine, but religion is man-made,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, and that's the way that I kind of look at it now.
Totally. I left my last church that I'll ever belong to about a year and a half ago. And I was the president of the church.
Wow.
And it was a small church, very small church. And with, like, operating at a budget deficit, and I said, I will do this if you're willing to grow.
Yeah.
And we're willing to grow. So we're sitting down for the pastor of the church proposes a jazz concert. Now, the town where this church is has a jazz season and a jazz festival less than a mile and a half away.
Okay.
We're at a budget deficit.
Oh, I see where this is going.
They wanted to spend $5,000 on a jazz concert when there's literally a jazz festival a mile and a half away. A church member comes in and says, hey, for $1,500 a year, we can sponsor three children, school, clothes, and books in I forget where it was. It's an island somewhere. But we can sponsor three kids who otherwise don't get to go to school. And they chose the jazz concert. And I got so fed up with that, I left.
Difficult when it comes to the money.
Cinder, welcome to mi casa. Thanks for coming over for dinner. You're in for a real treat. The owners of this house went for all pressure-treated wood.
I thought you said we were having honey. You know I don't eat wood.
No, you misunderstood. What I said was,
baby, you and me gonna make the honey.
Hear what?
That sound. It sounds like Waverly!
Do you suffer from premature extermination? Now you do.
Stop carpenter bees and ants from making honey in your house. Call Mike Robinson of Waverly Pest Control at 297-6700. That's 297-6700. Find them online at waverlypc.com and like them on Facebook. Remember, when you hire Waverly Pest Control, you wave goodbye to pests.
Wave goodbye to pests.
And the prioritization and stuff.
But how do you pick a jazz concert when there's one happening already? Well,
yeah.
Over
it, if you're going to do it several like months away or something. Don't do it at the same time.
Right. Change three kids' lives.
Yeah. Trust me. You can do a jazz concert and not spend that kind of money.
You can do a jazz concert for free.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's so many great artists around here in the Hudson Valley. Like, you tell them it's for a good cause, they will come out and they will play and they will do everything that they can to help raise money for you.
We just got 38 musicians.
I know.
For free. And I was thinking that when I was doing that. I'm like, wait a second. You paid $5,000 for a jazz concert for two guys. And
two guys? That was it?
Two guys.
Oh, my God.
No, not a jazz band. Two guys.
Two guys.
Yeah, craziness.
Oh, my God.
So I got a sour taste for religion,
yeah.
for churches, too.
Yeah. It's the institution. Again, yeah. Faith is divine. Faith is divine.
It's triangulation, right? Triangulation is not a direct form of communication between two people. You put a third person in the room. And church is triangulation of your relationship to God.
Oh, yeah.
And triangulation in a relationship is a bad thing.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't it be in a faith?
Absolutely.
As well, right?
Yeah. No, history's shown time and time again, you know, form of manipulation and, you know, whatever they want to do. Yeah.
So you graduate St. Rose.
Yep.
And then what?
Oh, God. Well, if we're really getting into that story. So that was 2020, so the unfaithful year. You know, we're the forgotten class. So 2019, I feel like 2019 was like everybody's year. Everybody was having like such a great time 2019, but like myself, everything was going right. I just won this competition through PBS.
To do what?
It was a music competition, and I won for my region. So I got to fly out to L.A., we did like a spot. It was supposed to air nationally and everything.
Great.
It was sick. I got to meet some awesome people. I was touring a bunch. I was playing the most music I've ever done, playing live everywhere. I'm going all across the country. I was hitting all these different states. It was sick. I'm on planes all the time. I had a great internship. I was working at WEXT in Troy. Great radio station. Great radio station. I love those guys so much. And then, you know, I'm finishing up my last year at St. Rose. Our final, our capstone project is to do an album. So I got to make this album that I was like working on all 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was amazing. And I love that album still to this day. I love all the songs on it. And I want to play at least one of those songs for you a little later.
Please, yeah.
But it was so good. Everything was going good. I had the girl. I had the friends. I had the job. I had everything. And after graduation, I was supposed to be working at Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. I already had a job with them, but they were going to promote me.
Wow.
And I was going to have an apartment. Everything. Everything was set. You know, it was like he had everything in his life until that one fateful day.
What happened?
COVID. Everything shuts down.
Right.
So when everything shuts down, I lose the apartment. I lose the job. All the shows that I booked, all canceled. I have to move back home to Poughkeepsie. I'm living in Albany. It was never my intention to ever move back home.
Right.
And so I moved back home. I ended up becoming a caregiver for my grandparents because they were like out the door at the time.
Mm.
So it was like a 2-year process though. So it was like 2020 to 2022.
Right.
You know, I was the primary caregiver for my dad's parents during a pandemic. So I'm taking some to the hospital, meals, washing them, all that. It was really insane because it was definitely a very grounding time, you know. Because in a lot of ways, I feel like, sure, on paper, everything looked good. But when you're riding the wave, you kind of forget how to swim sometimes.
Yep.
When you're fighting the current, you forget how to live. Google Dolls quote. And so it was interesting. It kind of really brought me back to earth, and it grounded me. And of course, also too, I lost the girlfriend too. I lost everything. Really, it was bad. It was a rough time. And yeah, I really had to do some soul searching. I really had to do some figuring out. And somewhere along the way, I found Town Square, and I started that job. That was late 2021. That was right before my grandmother passed away, and she was so excited for me. My grandmother was like my number one fan, man. She was so good. I remember, you know, even just in the final moments with her, you know, she loved my music videos. There was one in particular, Dance With Me, like, I would play it for her, and she loved it. She called it the hat video because I changed outfits in it.
Right.
And, no, it was just a very impactful time. And yeah, then I found Town Square and been slowly trying to keep up with the music again. Gigs have been on and off. You know, it's been weird. A post-COVID world is weird.
Yeah.
And but right now, I wrote an album from that time period, Always and Forever. That was the one that I did during the pandemic, and I love that album so much. There's so much good that I did with that, and I feel like I was able to accomplish so much as, like, an artist hitting all these different genres with it. It was insane. But now I'm working on a new album, Never Be a Hit, and I want to play that song for you a little bit. This one, I don't know. I feel like with the last album, I did so much of what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and now it's just like, all right, I'm just going to have some fun right now.
Okay.
And it's cool. It's a totally different vibe where Always and Forever was, if I had to describe that album in one word, it was loss.
Okay.
That was that album, just loss. This album, I don't know if I have a single word to say
right.
about it, though. I feel stylistically it's probably a little more similar to each other, where, like, Always and Forever, sure, the theme was lost, but, like, all these different genres and sounds.
Right.
But this one, I think it's, you know, coming into my own and just, like, really feeling it now.
Right.
And it's like, all right, I'm here. Let's move to the next step. Let's go.
What's the, talk music business first.
Yeah.
Gigging out, if you break even.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're lucky.
It's tough, you know. It's one of those things where, you know, what was it? It was, you know, 2020, there was nothing. 2021, well, here, I'll backtrack. Even before then, 2019, I was actually making money. I was actually making money doing this.
There you go.
And I felt so good about it because, like, for years, you know, doing the pay-to-play, right. How many tickets do you got to sell, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, winning the PBS thing, like, that was a good resume
right.
booster.
Right.
So people wanted to book me. And I got to do all these great shows. And I was making legit money. And it was awesome. So then 2020 happens. There are no shows. 2021, things are picking back up as much as it can.
Right.
You know, I wasn't expecting to, like, go balls to the walls on this.
Right.
But it was decent. It was decent. Made a little money. I was just happy to play out.
Right.
You know? 2022, oh my God, amazing year, because everybody wanted the shows again.
Right.
Everybody wanted the shows again. I was like, okay, I'm doing all right, getting back to it, feel really good, making a little money, not like the money I was making in 2019, but, like, it was solid,
right.
It was money. But then 2023, last year, everything dried up again. And I was like, what is going on? I'm in a group chat with a number of musicians around this area. And we're all saying to each other, it's like, hey, are you guys having a problem this year compared to other years? And it's like, thank God you said it, because I thought it was just me.
Right.
We were learning, like, all these places that we would go to, their budgets were cut. They didn't want to spend as much.
Right.
There are other people who are coming out of the woodwork who would do it for much less.
Right.
And, you know, we were getting phased out. So last year, I had a very low year when it came to gigs. And last year was a very interesting year. One of my best friends passed away.
Oh.
I shaved my head.
Okay.
I had, like, a Britney Spears moment.
You know? You're on the right show.
Yeah, it was right before I started therapy and right before I started antidepressants. And so it was a weird time. as I'm trying to like figure things out. So I wasn't doing nearly as much as I would. I kind of backtracked. I just sat. I didn't move anywhere. I didn't go. I wasn't doing anything. But I got to say, therapy's really helped. I love, shout out to my therapist, Megan. Like, she's phenomenal. So good. Oh my God. When she called, I was sending out like a bunch of messages and I was getting all these referrals. And when she called me, I'm like, no, she's the one.
Right.
And like, it's been so good ever since. And I was never really big on the whole medication thing. But let me tell you, it took me months until I finally like decided. Like, I was doing therapy for a long time. Right. Long time, several months. Before I decided to actually try anything.
Did Megan recommend it?
Yeah, no, she recommended it from the get-go, from day one. But I was like, let's just see how we do here.
Right.
And it was good, but I eventually kind of had like a fall to my knees moment. It was like, I need that something else, whatever that might be. Maybe it's this.
Right.
And the very first day that I was on the antidepressants, I laughed. And I just laughed so heartily, you know. So I stopped myself. And I was like, I really mean this.
Right.
And it was a kind of laugh that I hadn't felt in a long time. Mm-hmm. It was like, come on, the last few years are all filled with loss. I lost my grandparents. I didn't even mention the fact that I lost several other friends. One to a car accident, one to COVID, one from suicide, another one bad allergic reaction to medication he was on. Lost all these people, couple of neighbors, couple of other family members that I wasn't necessarily close with, but like I was an expert on funerals.
Yeah.
I was a pallbearer. I'm a pallbearer more times than anybody should be in their life.
Right.
I had to give eulogies. I gave eulogy at my other best friend and former roommate's wake, the one who passed away from COVID. It was ridiculous. That just so much loss. And yeah, right after Jacob died in last year, I was really spiraling. I was really having a tough time, and that's what eventually got me to therapy. Also, big shout out to Donna Thomas of James's Warriors and to the Be a Friend Project, because I had them on. I had them on In Touch, the other show. You were on Spotlights. My other show's In Touch. And both of them focus on, you know, suicide prevention and mental health. I had them on back to back. I had Donna on one day. I had Be a Friend Project on the next day. And like, I'm weeping. I'm weeping in these. And like, as soon as the interviews are done, like, I'm a wreck. And I'm like, I get it, God. I get it. I'll go to therapy, okay?
There you go.
And yeah, so it's been a very transformative year. And you know, 2024, I'm not where I was like in 2019, but I feel back. Right. I feel back.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so good to feel back. It feels so good to be like, I can do these things again.
Right.
Because it was kind of a paralysis. I felt paralyzed with a lot of things. I was really paralyzed in my grief.
Right.
So it was tough.
Do you, back to me, what do I want to do first? Therapy, what are you learning?
Oh, God, I'm learning to set boundaries. That's the big thing. I've always been a people pleaser. I've had, like, Superman complex, you know, wanting to be everything for everybody and just trying to be able to take the time for myself.
I struggle, yeah. Same thing, yeah.
You and I are very similar, it seems. I know we're just getting to know each other, but, like, just even watching you at the Lifted Project, I was like, that's me. I would have done that. But, yeah, so definitely setting boundaries, definitely to let go of my grief, to handle it better, because, you know, I think a lot of guys can speak to this, how we hold a lot of things inside of ourselves, you know.
Which works absolutely none of the time.
None of the time, absolutely. And then also, I feel like I've been a much better partner to my girlfriend.
Okay.
You know, we're just about to hit 2 years, and she's amazing. I love her so, so much, like...
That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Like, endgame right here.
Really?
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Are we gonna close the deal?
Oh, not yet. Absolutely not yet. We have a lot of life to live and a lot of steps that we got to do.
Right.
But, like, to me, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, we both got to get our next job that pays the bills a little bit better, move in and whatnot. But we still have a few steps on the way. But, you know, I love her so much. She's so good. Like,
have you heard my anti-marriage rant?
I have heard your anti-marriage rant.
Okay.
I agree with your anti-marriage rant.
Okay.
I do.
But you're going to go anyway.
Well, more from a spiritual sense, maybe.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because, yeah, no, I don't like the whole government contract bank.
Yeah.
Why does that need to get involved?
Right.
No. So, but just like the spiritual sense and, you know, connecting the mind, body, soul and everything.
How'd you meet her?
So we did go to college together.
Okay.
But we barely knew each other in college.
Right.
I knew her as Melissa's friend. That's all I really knew her as. Like, I was friends with this girl, Melissa. We did theater together. We did chorus together. And, Alex is my girlfriend. I would see her. She'd show up, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're Melissa's friend. That's all I knew. And we would see each other in passing, and enough to say hi or wave or whatever, but nothing more than that. So, and, like, during college, I was terminally in a relationship. I was always in relationships. So it's not like I can't even think about anybody
else.
Guitar,
that makes it easier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
that makes it way easier.
Absolutely. But so, yeah, when the pandemic happened, the girlfriend that I was with, it was crazy because the two relationships I had before that really screwed me up and gave me a lot of trauma because they were emotionally abusive relationships. I was definitely taken advantage of in a lot of ways.
Right.
So, and we can get into that later maybe, but for the sake of this story. So when I got with my third college girlfriend, Emily, you know, she was awesome. She was great. But I screwed that up, you know, where...
College.
It's college, but, you know, she was so awesome. And I'm coming out of two horrible relationships. She would ask me, are you over those previous relationships? And I would say yes, which was true to an extent.
Right.
I was over them as in, like, do I care about them? Do I want them back? Of course not. I want to be with you. I wasn't over the trauma, and I wasn't in a space to really talk about it or work it out. And unfortunately, I put a lot of the things that were happening to me in those relationships on her.
Right.
And I screwed up. And I screwed up, and I felt so guilty about it for 2 years. For 2 years, I didn't even think about dating anybody. I just needed to work on myself.
Right.
I just needed to work on myself, and because I really beat myself up over, you know, how I treated Emily. You know, I thought it was bad. So then,
but that's a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be worse if you didn't beat yourself up.
I know, absolutely. So then, 2 years later, it's such a funny domino effect of how it had to have happened. Like, you just know we had to get together because way too many things had to have been in place.
Okay.
So I know this is a long story. I'm so sorry.
Long podcast.
I love it. So I was best man for my buddy Zach, and before the wedding, we were having a birthday party for him. It was a surprise thing. Had to make sure that the day was right. We get all together, we surprise party him, yay. Have a great time, little too much to drink, tequila shots, love it. The next day, we go to a cafe for lunch. I run into my friend Angeli, who I did theater with while we were there. We hug, we're like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. And she says, I got a show coming up in a week. It was like, oh, that's sick. I would love to see your show. So the next week, I drive back up to Albany because I want to go see the show. And at the show, I see my friend Aileen, another person I did theater with, somebody I love so much. She's amazing. One of the best people that I know. And we're talking, we're catching up. Have a great time. 2 days later, she has a girls' night with Melissa and Alex. She's talking about how she just saw me. Alex is saying, it's like, oh, he was so cute and kind of had like a mini crush on me. I never knew that. And so Aileen, she loves to meddle in people's lives. So when she heard that, she hyped both of us up to each other where she was saying, it's like, oh, she's so in love with you, Connor. You have to, so far from the truth. And like, and Aileen to Alex is like, oh, he's so hot. You know, he's really kept it together. And oh my God, he's great. And I remember saying to Aileen, it's like, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't think I'm in the space to do this yet.
Right.
It's like, I'm still 2 years later, I'm still beating myself up over, you know, the last relationship. Right. And I just remember I'm on a car ride. I forget where I'm driving from, but I drive around a lot. I was listening to a friend of mine's album that just dropped, literally just dropped. And the song was called Past Trauma. And the song, and in the song, it said, past trauma's holding me back.
Right.
And it repeats it. It's like the main line. And I'm like, damn. I pull off to the side of the road. Like, I'm on some country road somewhere. I pull off to the side of the road. I hit up Aileen. And it was like, set it up.
Okay.
And before I could unsend that message, because I was like, what did I just do?
Right.
Because I knew something inside of me. I didn't know what it was, but something inside of me, I knew if I sent that text, there was no going back.
Right.
Whatever that meant. I didn't know what that meant yet, but I knew if I sent that text, there was no going back.
Yep.
And of course, Aileen sees it right away before I can unsend it. And she's like, oh my God, I'll set it up. So she gives me Alex's number. It was right before the 4th of July. And I text her and I was like, hey, like, I'm busy this weekend. I know I'm texting you right now, but like, do you want to have like a Zoom call or something Wednesday or whatever? And Alex was so excited and we had a great, you know, video call. We were on it for hours. And I was just like, yeah, no, I got to see you in person because I'm in Poughkeepsie. She's in Schenectady. So right. And we had that first date and it was miraculous. It was amazing. And then the next date that we had, we went to see. It was, that was spur moment, just a stroke of luck. I got Backstreet Boys tickets for work, from work.
Okay.
And I call her up. It's like, hey, I know we were already planning on meeting, you know, Saturday, but like, do you like the Backstreet Boys? And she's like, oh my God.
That's a big risk right there.
Oh my God. I know.
Backstreet Boys is, that's, that defines a person.
If
you like Backstreet Boys.
It's something else. Well, she danced.
Definitive.
She danced when she was younger and they like, did a lot of numbers to Backstreet
right.
Boys. So that was big for her childhood. I didn't realize how much I was a fan because I thought I was going for her. But then when I got there, I knew more songs than her.
It was like,
how do I know these?
It's not,
just the cultural zeitgeist, I guess. It's always been around me all my life.
It's not the Depression. It's not the COVID. It's not losing your grandparents. It's this Backstreet Boy thing we got to figure out for you.
No, but that concert was just so amazing.
Right.
You know, it was like, that was our second in-person date. And it was just like, okay, yep. I think I see what I felt when I was like, there's no going back here.
Right.
And then I also, there was this other moment too. A couple months after date, like started dating, we go to Melissa's house for a party. And I just had this moment of like looking at Alex from across the room and I'm talking with the guys, she's talking to the girls and felt like just time slowed down and I saw her smile and I'm like, shit, there's no going back from, I call it a safe haven moment because I wrote a song for her, Safe Haven. And yeah, no.
That's funny.
No going
it's
back.
Funny you had that feeling. I had that when the first time I met Trish, I had to write her name on a piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
So when I wrote her name on, because somebody said, you know, hey, you should call her. So I write down Trish. And well, when I was writing it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is going to be trouble.
And yep.
I had that same feeling. And this summer is 25 years.
25 years. God bless. 25. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's literally half her life.
Wow.
She goes, I spent every other day of my life with your ass.
That's one way to put it.
Right, yeah. That's the look. Do you want to play a song?
I will play a song.
Awesome. What are you going to play?
Gosh, I feel like I've told so many stories about so many different songs, but you know what? I'll stick to the song that I was originally planning on first.
All right, cool.
So this is going to be the title track off the upcoming album, Never Be a Hit. And it kind of goes back to the story we were talking about of, you know, the frustration of breaking even as a musician and getting the gigs back. I wrote this in 2023 because I wasn't getting the gigs anymore. It's like,
right.
What the hell's happening?
Yeah.
And then not just that, the gigs that I was getting, nobody wanted to hear originals. And I'm a songwriter. I want to play my originals. So I wrote this song and we can talk about it more afterwards, but I think this will say plenty for itself.
Well, I work my ass off 9 to 5, and then at night I go for a drive to play some ball that's quite a dive for a crowd that's barely alive. But not you, John. For crying out loud, I'm living on a prayer. If someone yells free bird, I'll be in despair. don't stop believing it's lost its meaning, and frankly this life ain't fair. Still I wait for my time, for my name to be up in lights, and I'll write every line that comes right to my mind. But for now, here I am, and tonight I'll be your man. So we'll keep on singing someone else's songs, try to get everyone to sing along. We work so hard, no matter what it is, the song will never be here. Why not? I think you can, any musician can relate to this feeling.
Yeah.
So I'll take a shot and I'll sell my soul to play for tips for an hour or so. Play all the songs everybody knows till it's time to go. Build this city on rock and roll, and every country road will take me home. I'm never gonna give up this dream I own. I was born to be a rolling stone. Still I'll wait for my time, for my name to be up in lights, and I'll write every line that comes right to my mind. But for now, here I am, and up next is Piano Man. So keep on singing someone else's songs, try to get everyone to sing along. We work so hard, no matter what it is, the song will never be a hit. Come on now. Hey radio, give me a turn, got all these songs only my dog has heard. One of these days I'm gonna write a hit, but this sure as hell ain't it. So we'll keep on singing someone else's songs, try to get everyone to sing along. We work so hard, no matter what it is, the song will never be a hit. This song will never be a hit. This sure as hell ain't it.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Nice.
Again, I think like any playing out musician will
relate
to that. That's a musician song right
that
there.
That is a musician song.
Yeah.
So I have a theory about songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I think radio has evolved into podcasting.
Yeah.
And podcasting has changed what radio is capable of being.
Mm-hmm.
Radio will be forever, but I also think podcasting has changed it in that.
Oh, big time.
In that, because podcasting is more intimate and more personal and not regulated by time.
Or corporate.
Right, or corporate.
Don't get me started.
It changes the experience.
Yeah.
I think songwriting has to follow that. And I
yes.
think songwriters are frustrated because the old formula of song, like your song that you just did, follows that.
It's very formulaic.
The other way. It's personal. It's storytelling. It's not something that everybody hears.
Yeah.
I don't think a songwriter can expect to be successful with a song unless it has a story attached to it.
Oh, that's me. Stories galore.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But
the structure's formulaic, but there is a story and there's a lot of fun to it.
Right. No, and the formula of the structure is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of songwriters struggle with, I'm doing what somebody famous is doing. Why am I not? And the answer is because somebody famous is already doing it.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and you have to have a gimmick. Like I have my right hand, different people have different,
yep.
different things. I always get frustrated when I hear people say I'm as good as Justin.
Oh, I'm not as good as anybody. I'm just Connor Walsh.
Which is the right way to be.
You know, I'm just me. I have so many inspirations, so many incredible artists have touched me throughout my life, and my dream, you know, is to be the soundtrack to somebody else's life, like
right.
all my favorite artists have been to me.
So if it falls all the right way, you're just doing music.
Absolutely. Well, maybe not just doing music, doing entertainment.
Right.
Stories.
Okay.
Focusing on stories, because I love what I do with In Touch and Spotlights. You know, I love interviewing people. I love sharing the stories, right. You know? So I'll never get over that. And that's something I'll do forever because I've done so many shows like that. I had this podcast called Walsh Wednesday where I had like, it was about mindfulness and music. That was the idea of it. And, you know, really get behind the stories of all the songs.
Right.
And then I had another show, St. Rose Rocks. I was actually hired by the College of St. Rose to do that one. It was a weekly show. Had St. Rose artists on, which is great. And then, you know, being on the radio, obviously our regular 30-second breaks, if that, it doesn't get a chance to get too deep. But, like, shows like In Touch or Spotlights where I can really have these conversations. I've been having all these incredible interviews with people. With some really insane folks, but unfortunately they're only like 10 minutes or less.
Right.
So it's like so hard. Like I want to talk to these people so much more because they're so interesting. So like when I can get 15, 20 minutes with somebody, I'm like, we can really dig
now
deep
we can
here.
Go along. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And,
what do you think the future of radio is?
Oh, see, this is what I said to my dad before. It's like, I'm going to accidentally say something I 100% mean. I think the future of radio needs to look towards its past. I think it needs to find the magic of that golden microphone again. Because, as you said, it's not as personal as podcasting is. In podcasting, you can do more because you have more time, for sure. But I think in a lot of ways, radio has lost a lot of its heart. And I'm doing everything in my power to keep it there where I am.
Right.
But, you know, with the monopolies like the iHearts, the Cumulus, the Town Squares, there are corporate agendas and it trickles down. And it makes being a radio personality very tough.
Impossible.
Yeah.
I won't say the guy's name. I'll tell you when we're done. But he's covering the Lifted Project.
Okay.
So, and he said, you know, there's going to be a mention. I'm going to talk about it in the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. So I have to listen for the whole hour, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Drive time.
Okay.
The best audience.
Oh, yeah.
Time, right?
Prime time.
All it is weather, traffic. Weather, traffic, song,
mm-hmm.
weather, traffic. And I'm like, once I know the weather and once I know the traffic, and I just got that in the last 60 seconds, I have no incentive to listen to you anymore.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think radio, and I don't think radio, I think the day of like an hour-long interview show on radio is done because you can
broadcast it. It is done.
What I would like to see is a station experiment with radio theater.
Yes, I would love to have radio theater back.
Yeah, and I because that will differentiate you from podcast.
Oh my God, yes. Right? Oh my God. Well, when they do for the holidays, you know, there's a couple of stations that do It's a Wonderful Life around the holidays.
Right.
I love that. I love listening to that.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, and there were other examples growing up. And yeah, absolutely. You know, like Joe Daly and I, Joe Daly, of course, Morning Mayor of the Hudson Valley for so many years. I love Joe. Joe is like a mentor figure to me. You know, we met when I was super, super young. I had a birthday party where instead of getting birthday presents, I collected gifts because my birthday being November, it's close enough to all the toy drives.
Right. Oh, cool.
So that's what I did. And we did it for the Toys for Tots with 92.1 with him. And he got me on the radio talking about my birthday party because he thought it was phenomenal.
Right.
When I was like second grade, you know,
oh, wow.
Something like that. And then years later, he comes back to my school the Teacher of the Month thing. And he was awarding the Teacher of the Month. And I was running sound for it in middle school now. That's how, you know, I got into sound. I was doing sound at a very early age. And I go up to him. It's like, Joe, I don't know, Mr. Daly, I don't know if you remember me, but I was the kid who did this. And it's like, oh, my God, I tell that story all the time.
That's awesome.
So, you know, that was sweet. And then he was our middle school commencement speaker, so that was cool. And then I did the Dutchess County Fair's talent search, which he was the host for. And I got to see him through that, and he got to see me grow as a musician. He had me on his morning show performing music a few times. I had him on a couple of my programs interviewing him. When he found out that I like got my first real radio job, he shot me a message. Like, congratulate. Oh my God, I love Joe. But like, I will never forget the first interview that I had with him, as he's talking about like his father and his grandfather and the love of radio and how there's a magic to the microphone. It's like this golden power to it when you can really connect to an audience,
right,
and you're authentic and you are with everybody. And obviously, I'm not trying to be Joe Daly. I'm trying to be Connor Walsh. But at the same time, I will never forget the words that he said,
right,
because that's exactly what I'm trying to do when I'm doing my interviews and speaking with people and engaging with the community.
Right.
Like, that is radio to me. That is radio to me. And I feel like if more stations and more people focus in on that.
Yeah. Radio,
you got
it. It has to be local.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
It has to be local.
Syndication is so tough.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's a place for listening to like a Ryan Seacrest or a Bobby Bones or Elvis Duran. There's a place for it. Absolutely. But, you know, you got to have the locals. You have to have the connection. You have to have your hand on the pulse
because
of what's going on in the area.
That's the advantage that radio has over podcasting, is you can build community.
Yeah.
You can slap your calls on a van, go to a beach, and build a community.
It is so amazing. One of the best feelings I had, I remember late high school and college, I'd pull all-nighters. And I'd be listening to the radio just so like I had something on in the background. And I just had this thought, and it's like, there's somebody else somewhere listening to the same thing that I am.
Right.
I'm not as alone.
Right.
You know, and regardless of whatever time of day.
To my listener hearing this right now, there is nobody else listening to what you're listening to.
Yes, there is. There's one other person. Two, I don't know. But
Do you your songwriting process.
Yeah.
What comes first, words or music?
It depends. Really depends. I'm definitely a very lyrics-driven person.
Right.
So most of the time I would say lyrics, but not always. Not always. Sometimes I'll have a melody first. It's funny, even though I've played guitar for years, something that I've realized, you know, in the last couple of years, I might have a melody in my head and I'll plunk it out on the piano.
Right.
And then that'll start everything. And then from there, maybe I'll like, oh, wait, I had a lyric that I came up with a while ago. This would be perfect for that, or
right,
something along those lines.
Do you handwrite or do you type?
Both. It depends what I have. Depends what's in front of me at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you one of those have an idea talking?
Oh, talk it into the mic. I have voice memos. I have my notepad. On this.
Right.
But then I also have another like physical notepad where I'll just write stuff down. It's literally anything I can get my hands on and I'll put it down some way.
I have to handwrite.
You have to handwrite?
Handwrite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Doesn't matter for me. I just need to put it down before I forget it.
Right.
Yeah. And it's funny because lyrics will just come from anywhere. And actually, I think this is a great segue into one of the songs I wanted to play for you. You know, actually, play this one instead. But where a lot of my lyrics are just stuff that I say on a daily basis, you know?
Okay.
It's just a lot of my hooks just come from things that I say in normal conversation. One song of mine, it kind of been my calling card for a while, spend some time. It's like, I just want to spend some time. Spend some time. It's such a simple phrase. And I would say it all the time, and then I eventually made it into a song. Or I have another song, Yes. Like, how simple can you get with yes, you
right.
know? And then the next song I really want to play for you, it's my girlfriend helped inspired it. Maybe not in the way that she necessarily would like, but she loves the song and she loves the idea. We were talking about how we wanted to do X, Y, and Z. You know, she was still in grad school when we were having this conversation, and she's so busy, I'm so busy, we couldn't get time to do anything. So we kept saying, one of these days we'll do this, one of these days we'll do that, one of these days. And I was like, I'm so tired of saying one of these days.
Right.
It's like, I am so tired. We just got to do it. My God, I'm so tired of it. And then I'm like, one of these days, and one of these, That's a song.
There you go.
And I guess that's the best segue I can give it for this song. And I think, you know, this song, it's partly inspirational, partly cynical. I think it changes with whatever mood you're in when you listen to it, because the lyrics can go both ways.
Cool.
And yeah, so here it is. Here's One of These Days.
One of these days you'll take that vacation. One of these days you'll finally get away. One of these days you'll stop to smell the roses. Get around to it one of these days. One of these days you'll get that promotion. One of these days you'll finally get paid. One of these days be worth the commotion of all the times you missed out on all of these days. Stop wasting your time watching your whole life pass you by. Will you be happy with all of your memories when you die? We ain't got forever whatsoever, so be on your way. One of these days we gotta stop saying one of these days. One of these days you'll ask for her number. One of these days you'll sweep her away. You keep on waiting for that perfect moment. Then one of these days she's the one that got away. One of these days you'll go out with your friends. One of these days when it's more calm, you keep sitting out on all of these moments. Then one of these days there'll be no one to call. Stop wasting your time watching your whole life pass you by. Will you be happy with all of your memories when you die? We ain't got forever whatsoever, so be on your way. One of these days we gotta stop saying. One of these days I'll sail on the ocean. One of these days I'll shoot for the moon. One of these days I'll hit the ground running. One of these days I'll get there soon. One of these days we'll let go of drama. One of these days we'll let go of pain. One of these days we'll finally break from what's been holding us back all of these days. One of these days it's gonna be over. One of these days they'll put you away. In your final moments you lay there and wonder, what did I do with all of these days? Stop wasting your time watching your whole life pass you by. Will you be happy with all of your memories when you die? We ain't got forever whatsoever, so be on your way. One of these days we gotta stop saying one of these days.
So yeah.
Nice, man. Well done.
Thank you.
The antidepressants make you more prolific or less?
Doesn't change.
Okay, that's good.
No, actually, well, possibly more prolific, because I was kind of in a rut there. I feel like 2023, I really didn't write much until the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you, what's your philosophy? Do you write the song? Do you channel the song? Is the song given to you?
No, it's like a universal thing. Like, it comes to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the moments where I try to write a song are, like, the worst.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think the only times when I try to write a song goes well is when I'm collaborating.
Okay.
When I'm collaborating, because then there's a certain magic to the room where you're able to work off each other's energy.
Right.
And that's the only time for me when I've tried to write a song, it's worked out.
Right.
But if I'm just writing a song on my own, no, it's got to be like a moment, you know.
Best acoustic guitar player living is?
Oh! I probably don't even know.
John Butler's the answer.
You know what? Actually, I will say this. Andrew McKenna Lee, he was one of my professors in college. And holy crap, that guy is good.
Okay,
like,
cool.
so good. I've seen him do so many different styles of music. You know, Paul Quigley, too. He was another professor at St. Rose.
Right.
Phenomenal on the acoustic guitar. And I'm just strictly saying acoustic right now.
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God. Both of them, the things that I've seen them do and the things that I've heard, like, just blows my mind.
Right.
So it was a real honor to study with them. And I didn't study guitar with them. I had other classes with them. But just to see them do their thing. Just so impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, choking to death.
You're all good. Don't die.
Thank you. I won't. Today I won't. You ever see John Butler's Ocean?
No, actually.
Oh.
Something I got to put on later.
He's Australian.
Mm-hmm.
He's very dirty. No, I mean, just physically dirty. He's a real hippie.
I'm familiar with him. I've just never seen or heard it.
Oh, he play. It's a symphony on a 12-string guitar.
Oh, wow.
It's the most amazing piece of acoustic playing I ever saw.
Is this a video?
Yeah.
Music video?
YouTube. Yeah, just
okay.
John Butler Ocean.
Ocean. Okay.
2012 studio session.
Okay.
And it'll change your life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Most overrated guitar player acoustic.
Overrated?
Well, doesn't have to be acoustic.
I can think of some overrated artists, but, you know, acoustic guitar player?
Doesn't have to be acoustic, just guitar player. Eric Clapton is the answer.
Eric Clapton can do things I can't do, so
That doesn't make him not overrated.
Oh, yeah, no, there are certain people who are overrated. See, I try not to, like, shit on too many other musicians, because it's like, I recognize, it's like, yeah, I can't do that.
Right. All right, then most underrated guitar player.
Underrated guitar player. Jeez.
Most underrated guitar player.
Well, somebody, you know, I was just telling you before, Amos Lee. Oh, my God. This guy needs to be much more mainstream, you know. Just his guitar playing, his songwriting, everything is like, when I saw him at the Egg last night, it was the second time I've seen him in concert, but, like, I love his music, and he's so, so good, and he kind of does a little R&B, a little funk, a little soul, a little folk, like, touches so many genres.
Right.
Like, I remember taking my mom for the first time, and she was like, so what genre is he technically? Yes.
Right.
And it was just so good, and he's so underrated, and I would just love to see more for him. Same goes for Passenger, you know, the song, people only know that one song. He's got like 15 albums.
Right.
Like, he's so good. I'm going to see him at the Beacon Theater in August, and he has, speaking about stuff that'll change your life, his live album that he put out last year. Mind-blowing, because it's just him and a guitar. It's not. He doesn't even have a band.
That's the best.
It's just him and a guitar for the entire concert.
Now I have to...
Live from San Francisco.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
I gotta bookmark that to work.
Absolutely. It is so, so good. And, you know, it's an hour. It's like, it's an hour album, and it's so good. And he even says in it, it was like, thank you for being so quiet and so still. We don't get that every single night, but you, like, I could feel you listening. Thank you. Like, it's such an impressive album. It's everything I want to do. Live from San Francisco.
Live from San Francisco, okay.
Yeah. Came out last year.
By the way, thank you for that.
Yeah.
You know, you're a radio guy.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about filling 45 seconds while
No, but it's so, so good. Like, I really recommend that album. Any, like, singer-songwriter, guitarist out there, you know, is like, if you just love those moments where it's you and your guitar... You'll love this album.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on songwriting competitions and best song competitions?
It's very interesting because I've been in a good number of them.
Right.
Oof. Well, so when I won PBS's Celebration of Music, you know, it was a talent competition along the lines of like America's Got Talent, but like PBS's version. And that was cool. And there's so many pros and cons because, like, when it's in person, when you can do something in person, you can meet so many amazing people.
Right.
Because I'm still in contact with a lot of people that I met during that process.
Right.
And it's so awesome to see how they've blown up and do certain things. So like stuff along those lines, I love it. I grew up doing talent shows and like the talent search at the Dutchess County Fair. Amazing. But like some of those online ones, like I was in, what was it called? Was it 2022? Oh, why am I forgetting the name of this? But it was one of those competitions and people had to vote for you online and you had various stages and you got more votes if you could pay a little bit. And I feel like such a fool for how much I went into this because it's such a sham.
Yeah.
It's such a sham. And, you know, like, I remember the end goal, it was to play the Hollywood Bowl for, you know, for a festival, which, you know, that's pretty lit.
That's cool, yeah.
That's so cool. And that's not what I'm diminishing. And I'm not diminishing any of the artists who are in this competition right. as well. They're just taking advantage of these artists. You know, we're looking for that shot. And, right. you know, they're really taking advantage of us. So after I did that competition, I was just like, you know, I'm kind of really pissed off about this now. And then I saw a friend of mine do a very similar kind of competition. And I hit him up and was like, dude, kudos to you for like plugging yourself and putting yourself out there.
Right.
I will always support you. If you want me to share links, I got you. I don't care. But like I went through this myself and it was a horrible experience.
Right.
And I'm warning you now. I wish you the best of luck if you choose to keep going with this.
Right.
But, like, it is not a great experience. It is soul-crushing because, you know, as we're talking before about, like, corporate stuff, is like, they're just, we're just another clog in the machine
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah.
So.
And I also struggle with the idea. I ask best guitar player, so I ask every guitar player. But in real life, I don't know how you quantify that at all.
Yeah.
Because from the show,
it's a popularity contest,
right? And I don't play. I don't play in competitions, but because of this, I get asked to judge some.
Oh,
and
interesting.
And I've done my last one because I'm like, I don't know how to honestly say you're better than you. You're different than you.
Yeah.
And I like you more than, but that doesn't make you better just because John likes you more.
Yeah.
That just makes you
different
with John.
Yeah.
And which, who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
so I'm stepping off that stuff, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
And it also like, oh, sorry to interrupt you, but
no, go
it
ahead.
Also, it also trains people who didn't win to work in towards a different goal.
Absolutely.
And towards the wrong goal.
Yeah, that's the thing. Musicians are forced to become content creators. We're forced to become our own managers, our own publicists, our own this video content creators, all these things. And like, trust me, I love aspects of it, but it's tiring.
Yeah.
It's like, I became a musician to play music, not fight an algorithm.
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's what you're doing.
Exactly. And it's ridiculous to be able to do that. And you know, like, I'm doing all right now. Obviously, I got the radio gig. I do DJing stuff on the side for events. You know, sound gigs. You know,
how do we find out about that?
About what?
The DJing.
Oh, my DJ. You can just hit me up. Phone number 845-514-4093.
There it is.
And then you can hit me up at which email should I give? I'll give this one. ConWalsh1197. So conwalsh1197@gmail.com. If you need somebody for, you know, live sound, need somebody for DJing, or if you want a gig, somebody like live music, that's what I really want. But yeah, if you need anybody for that, I got pretty competitive prices, so be happy to do it. Yeah.
What's the future for the music business then?
That's such a weighted question.
It's not playing out.
No, no, it is still playing out. To a degree, at a certain level. There will always be playing out.
Yeah,
people will always play.
You
can't make a living out of it. Once you hit a certain echelon, you can. But, like, before that point... It's so high. It's at this point, and it keeps rising. The big thing is, nowadays, or at least the way that things currently are, I have no idea what the next trend's going to be, but the current thing is... post every single day. And that can be intimidating or that can be amazing. But even if it's just a 10-second clip of a song of yours,
mm-hmm.
you just got to be present. Right. Well, that was the thing. It was like, back in the day, being present was getting up on stage and performing for a crowd.
Right.
Today, being present is being present in the algorithm. And that's what it is. And I think you can stay true to yourself and post what you want to post.
Right.
But just make sure that you're there.
Right.
I always think about this with Harrison Ford. You know, people asked him, you know, after the success of Star Wars. I think this was an interview for Indiana Jones. And they asked him, it's like, you came to Hollywood with a lot of people. Like, there are a lot of people that you came in with, but you were like the only one out of that group that really broke through. What's the difference between you and them? And he was like, I stayed. I stayed.
Right.
Like, where everybody else left or gave up or got sidetracked, I stayed.
Right.
And it's like, it's not because I'm a better actor. It's not because I'm more talented. It's not because I had anything that anybody thinks they can bestow upon me. It was because I stayed.
Right.
And I think that's such a powerful thing. It's like, if you want to try something, stay.
Yeah. I also think it's regional. You know how people say spending money on a lottery ticket is statistically?
Yeah.
Trying to be a national touring musician is probably equally as stupid.
It's so tough.
But being
5 years ago, I was almost doing it. I was like right there. 5 years ago.
But I think the future is regional, and it has to be. We have to reframe the model between musician and venue.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that. I'm working on it. I don't know what that looks like yet.
It's tough.
But I don't see, because if you, like any other business, if you squelch the incentive, the quality is
going to be bad. Oh, my God. Absolutely. Well, that's what I was talking about where, you know, people who are coming in will do it for lesser money.
Right.
You know, it's like,
and they're not going to be the same experience.
Yeah, no, by no means. And everybody needs to start somewhere. I'm not going to, like, crap on them for that. You know, these are probably people who are just trying to get out there themselves. And, like, I don't diminish that.
Right.
But those lower rates and lower returns do hurt everybody else.
Right.
You know, but it's the venues. It's the venues who got to like really look at it as like, what are we really getting here and what are we really promoting? And it's like, you want the quality.
You should
have the quality.
For the Hudson Valley, maybe you can answer this question. I don't understand. So Hudson Valley, I can walk out and trip over an extraordinarily talented musician.
So true.
Right? It's ridiculous.
Like
per capita around here is just stupid.
It's amazing.
Right? All working for nothing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't somebody come up here and open and manage this? Be a manager. You could if you started an agency up here, you'd be repping 35 world-class musicians in 2 weeks.
Easily.
And
easily.
I don't understand why somebody doesn't do that.
There's a couple of.
Hey, Emerald Ash Borer. Glad to see you back this year. I see the tent caterpillars are already making themselves at home.
Hey, Spotted Lanternfly. Yeah, those tree huggers always get the best spots, man. Have the aphids arrived yet?
Oh, I think they claimed all the good spots close to the garden. Go say hey.
Hey, you guys, want some kale?
Oh, thanks. I'm going to get cozy in one of those ash trees before things get too wild.
Cool beans. Watch out for those fire ants, though. They are grumpy this year.
Don't let your backyard turn into a campground for pests. Call Waverly Pest Control before your yard becomes a June bug jamboree.
Hi, this is Mike Robinson. If you're looking for a more organic method to control your seasonal pests with no harm to your pets and children, give us a call at 845-297-6700 and wave goodbye to pests.
Places around here, like I've tried to hit up a few that, you know, do manage folks, but they are so inundated because there's so few of them and so much of us. So you're right. It's like, it's why isn't there, you know, something like that going on? But you know what I've always said is like, if the opportunity is not there, make the opportunity. So this might be our opportunity to make said opportunity.
Right.
So so I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Do you think, are you going to be on the antidepressants forever, do you think? Or do you have a goal there? Or?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how it works. Right now, I just know that I feel good. I feel me. So, I'm no expert on, mental health, but I'm learning so much. And it would be nice one day to not be on them, but I don't know how that works. We'll see how my brain chemistry works.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you meditate?
Oh, yeah. Now I do.
What kind of practice do you have?
Definitely a lot when it comes to the breathing. So actually, there's this great speaker, podcaster, author, Jay Shetty, if you've ever heard of him.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcasts. I have a couple of his books. I've been reading Think Like a Monk like over and over and over again. And I love like a lot of those practices that he has in there about meditation.
Right.
And it's so simple, and it's kind of like one of those things, like, why didn't I think of that? But it's like when you're so caught up in the day-to-day, it's like that's the problem. That's the point.
Right.
So, having reminders like that, I'm trying to remember what kind of what monastery he was at. It wasn't Buddhist. I forget what exactly he was with. But it's so amazing reading that book and just checking out any of his stuff. I have his other book. It's about love languages and stuff. I haven't read that yet, but I want to read that too. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating. So like I definitely take a lot from that. I've been reading a lot of philosophy lately. I just finished reading the Nicomachean Ethics from Aristotle.
Cool.
one translation of it at least. And it was so impressive because for those who aren't familiar with the Nicomachean Ethics, if you've ever heard of the term pursuit of happiness, well, that's where you get it from.
Right.
If there's any one particular like statute on the pursuit of happiness from whether that be Western philosophy, that's it. So that was a fascinating book to read too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I harp on meditation is, and you're doing it now, so you're experiencing it. But the reason I harp on meditation is when you're depressed, like, or crazy like me, meditation teaches you how to control your thinking to some degree.
Oh, absolutely.
You have a thought, you let it go.
Yeah.
The object isn't to have the thought. Isn't to not have the thought.
Yeah.
The object is to learn to let that thought go.
Yeah.
The minute you can let that thought go while you're meditating, you can do that all day.
Yeah.
And once you have agency over your thinking, now you can manage your head.
Yeah.
But until you learn how to have agency over your thinking, you're a victim of your thoughts. And
easily.
You don't look at them as something that are under your control. It just popped into my head. Well, okay, but now that it's there,
yeah,
you get to choose what to do with it. And I think more than anything else in mental health, the importance of knowing that that you can control your thoughts, that you have agency over them, is far and away the most important thing.
So true.
And in cognitive therapy, I wish, and I'm glad you're having a good experience. I was in therapy for fucking ever, and it never worked. And I wish a therapist had said to me, hey, by the way, that stuff that you're thinking, you can opt out of thinking that if you train your head to do that.
See, that's what my therapist like talks about. Like I love her. Yeah, she's great at that kind of stuff.
That's fantastic.
But then also, a piece of advice that I got, I tell this all the time. I don't practice what I preach, but I'm working on it.
All of us.
This amazing piece of advice that I got from one of my former voice teachers, Marta Waterman from St. Rose. She's actually, she lives around here. But first of all, amazing woman, phenomenal talent. So, so good. But I just remember she said to me, it was like, because I struggled with that. It's like, I just wanted to block out those negative thoughts rather than accept them.
Right.
She said, it's like, just take a moment to yourself. Say every negative thought. Say every vile, disgusting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's out loud, you're writing it, you're typing it, you're singing it. Whatever you need to do to get it out.
Right.
Get it out. And do it for as long as you need, whether it's 5 minutes or 30 minutes to an hour. Just do it. And then once you're at the point, you have nothing else to say. And even though, like, in the moment, it may not feel like you'll ever finish, there will be an end. And when you have that moment, just breathe and be like, thank you. I don't need you.
Right.
And I had a whole notebook that I had exactly that.
Wow.
Of just like writing it all down. And once I finished that notebook, I went off and burned it and everything.
Wow.
You know? It was like, and, you know, journaling is something I've been in and out of. I should be better about it. One thing that I've been doing now, I use my notepad on my phone because, you know, I'm on the road a lot.
Right.
So I can use speech to text.
Right.
So where I can just have that in. It's funny. I don't use the voice recorder to have these, but I use the speech to text so I can read it later.
Right.
But I'll use that as kind of my journal, especially like when I'm in the car or I'm out somewhere when I can't like physically write it. And it makes such a difference, you know, like every time I go to therapy, it's like, all right, what's on the notes today? And,
right.
you know, it's good.
You do morning pages at all?
I did for a while. I need to get back into it.
Yeah, man.
It
makes a big difference.
Oh, it does. Like those early morning affirmations.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was good.
I'm talking about the Artist Way morning pages. You ever do those?
Oh.
Do you know them?
No.
I'm going to change your life right now.
Okay.
So, book called The Artist Way.
Okay.
It's about unleashing your creativity and being, you know, accepting yourself as an artist rather than carrying a briefcase or whatever. And the struggle for that. And one of her practices is this thing called the morning pages.
Okay.
You get up. If you want to make coffee first, okay, but you can't do anything else. And you sit down and you handwrite 3 pages. You can handwrite the word doorknob for 3 pages, but you got to handwrite 3 pages. And it can be a journal. It can be a bitch session. It can be none of the above. It can be anything.
Yeah.
The important part is just that you write.
Yeah.
And what that does is it shifts your brain from receiving to output.
Yeah.
And once you start the day in that gear, you're more creative and less victim to your thoughts the rest of the day.
Yep.
It takes 10 minutes, a game changer.
So good.
Game changer, yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, just, and I have like, I do composition notebooks, and now I'm starting to post, like I posted yesterday what I wrote.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'm pretty public-facing.
I'd be pretty dangerous if I ever posted anything like that.
Why don't post the whole
thing? I'm, you know, I have this kind of personality on the outside. I'm very cynical up here, you know, so it's like, you don't want to hear what I'm really thinking. It's like, that's dangerous.
What, are you political at all?
Oh, God, we're not getting into this.
No, just are you political?
I try to keep myself up to date on things.
Right.
But I don't consider myself a very political person. You know, I try to make sure that I'm as informed as I possibly can be.
Right.
I try to read and listen to every side because there's so much bias out there everywhere. Every time I hear one side, I'm like, that doesn't sound like the full story. So then I go find something else. But so many people stop at just the one story.
Right.
My main thing is I've always been about the stories.
Right.
Whatever that might be. You know, the music, entertainment, whatever. But that goes to everything in my life. I'm about the stories. And it's like, that doesn't sound like a complete story to me. I want to know the full story.
Right.
And that, you know, that's an issue that a lot of people have today where they stop. They get the headline of whatever they want to hear.
Right.
And then they're good.
I always say, like, I think people stop at when they first think, okay, I was right.
Yes.
Then they stop.
Exactly.
Right?
I want to be proven wrong.
Right.
I want to be See, I have no problem somebody telling me no.
Right.
Or whatever that might be. But tell me why.
Right.
Tell me why. Prove me why. Why is my way of thinking not the way of thinking?
Right.
It's like, I want to have a civilized discussion with you. And that's the other thing, you know, people have a hard time having these discussions because, you know, as you said, they just want to be right. One of my best friends in the whole wide world, we do not see eye to eye politically whatsoever, but we have the best political conversations.
That's awesome.
Because him and I have so much trust in each other
right.
where we can be like, all right, that doesn't make sense. Explain it to me. Or it's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Give me that perspective
right.
or like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Tell me more. And I might still walk away thinking I'm like, I like my version better, but I do feel like I walk away much more informed. And we've changed each other's minds
on
a number of things.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I
want to do another song.
I would love to do another song.
Awesome. What are you going to do?
God, we'll do this one. Oh, I have my pick in here. I was using both picks. All right. Which cape am I going to do it in? I'll do this one. So, kind of, I think a big theme of what we were talking about is just, you know, finding the path and what is going to be the path of music and entertainment and just cultural in general. And, you know, I wrote this song when I heard a lot of no's, like a lot of doors slammed in my face, a lot of no's. And even at one point, you know, I was auditioning for something and they told me it was like, your music's too depressing, you know. And it's like, well, damn. This was several years ago now. I feel like I've written plenty of happier stuff since.
You think it was depressing then.
Yes, you think it's bad. That, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a happy song, damn it. So I go home and like in 30 minutes, I just like write this thing. And I just remember, and funny enough too, I wrote it in the bathroom. I'm playing guitar in the bathroom because my roommate's got friends over and I'm not trying to like be a jerk.
Right.
So I'm in the bathroom writing this song. And, you know, it's just kind of funny because it did change some things and it did open up some doors. And I feel like the closer I am to this mantra, the closer I am to feeling me and the closer I am to, you know, achieving what it really is. So after 1,000 no's, it only takes one yes.
When the world tells you no, 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 and the haters tell you go, 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 where would you be if you did what they say? It's a good thing we don't play that way. Otherwise be so many untaken roads, so many tales untold. There should be no one telling us where we are. This ain't an easy fight, don't let him get any mind, but we won't stop until we reach the stars. There ain't no time to second guess. After 1,000 no's, it only takes one yes.
What do you think, John?
Liking it.
There you go.
So many times you feel without a friend, all you need is someone with a hand to lend. There's 1,000 hearts that know where you've been. The time is now, let your dreams begin. Otherwise be paintings without their colors, sisters without their brothers. There won't be any light from the warmth up above. Reach out and grab a hand, cause we're not etched in the sand. Let yourself know that you are loved. There ain't no time to second guess. After 1,000 no's, it only takes one yes. Only takes one moment to turn your life around. Only takes one smile to forget you ever frowned. Whatever you think is, it is worth all stress. Cause within your heart you said yes. So when the world tells you no, 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 all I gotta say is let it go. I feel it in my chest, I swear to God I'm blessed. And after all the stress, I'll strive to be the best. There ain't no time to second guess. Yeah, I said, there ain't no time to second guess. After 1,000 no's, it only takes one yes. Yes, it does.
There it is.
Yep.
Well done, man. Well done.
Appreciate it.
Takamine player.
Yes.
Yeah, me too, man.
I love this Takamine. It's a great one. Yeah.
Do you know the Facebook group? I'm going to get you in it.
I'm sure there is, but no, I'm not in it.
I'm going to get you in
it. All right, get me in it.
There's this one guy, I'm trying to get him on the show, and he knows everything about Takamine.
Really?
But everything. Like, so people post their guitar and like, what model is it? And
yep.
He knows everything. It's so cool.
And awesome.
I have a cool, so I... That's an AN-10.
Mm-hmm.
It's discontinued.
This one got discontinued too.
Right?
Why are they discontinued?
I don't know. So, but here's what happened, right? So during COVID, I did Facebook Lives because I just wanted to play, you know, couldn't do anything else, right?
Yeah.
So I would do Facebook Lives and I would talk about how, you know, my guitar is old and rare and beat up, but it's not expensive, but it's rare. So this guy writes me and he goes, hey, I happen to have an AN-10. I'm like, name your number. What's your number?
Nice.
And he says, tell you what, I'm going to send it to you. And you take a look and tell me what you think it's worth. Sends it to me. I open it up. Never been played.
Oh, my God.
Never been played. So I call him. I'm like, have you ever played this thing? He goes, nah, I bought it. And then I just never picked it up. I'm like, name your number. And he goes, you love it so much, just keep it. Yeah. So, and then for like 3 years, I'm like, I don't want to touch this thing. It's a work of art. Because they're so rare. Like,
I feel you. Right? I get it.
I don't want to touch it. But then I thought, finally, this year I'm playing it because I'm like, hey, when in your life are you ever going to get a chance to break in a rare guitar that breaks in? Are you one of those guys like me that thinks like guitars vibrate and?
Oh my God, there's something beautiful about it. There really is. You know, I remember when I was testing out guitars and I tested out this one
and it fit you.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like like Harry Potter or something, like when you get your wand, your wand chooses you.
Yep.
Like I feel that way about guitars. I feel that way about guitars.
Guitar chooses you.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
No, so it was like, and same with this guitar too. Same with the Alvarez.
Right.
You know, it's like I knew I wanted a baritone guitar.
Right.
And because my boss had one and he loaned it to me, and this is the same model that he loaned it to me.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, I love this guitar. I just wish he gave me that one. But right. Like when I found this one, I was like,
yeah, man.
And it's so nice. I love my guitars. The guitars are an extension of me. So it's
awesome.
Like, I think that's the way for a lot of musicians.
You ever play a 12 string?
I have. My cousin's husband has this gorgeous 12 string. It's a Martin. It's a
nice.
Martin 12 string. And he's let me play it on a number of occasions. And it's just, oh, divine.
Yeah.
So good.
If somebody could engineer a 12 string, because I have two of them.
Good for you.
And because I actually, my guitar journey is weird. I learned on classical, which is the only way you should learn a guitar is on classical. Three reasons. Number one, it's nylon strings,
yes.
So you can stay on it longer.
Yep.
Number two, the neck is wider.
Yep.
So that if you can do something on a classical guitar, you can do it on any guitar.
Cause oh, yeah.
Wider, so it'll train your hand. And the third reason is they're not expensive. So if you don't like it,
it's true.
You're not. So
that's what I started on. I started on nylon guitars. Yeah.
Right. And do you ever teach guitar? You ever?
Very rudimentary stuff.
Right.
Like I don't consider myself like a really great guitarist. I'm a singer songwriter. I know
right.
enough to get me by, but don't like ask me to do like a solo or nothing. So I've done some very rudimentary stuff. Actually, the thing that I've tutored and taught the most is music theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done some music theory classes and tutoring, and that's been the big thing.
How much theory do you apply when you write?
Oh, God, it is so funny.
I have a theory. Go ahead.
No, it's so funny because, like, I think of the songs that I had before I understood the theory.
Right.
And, you know, just throwing stuff together. And now I look back and I was like, oh, shoot. So I was actually doing this and I was doing a secondary dominant over here and I was throwing that in and we have a key change, but then I was able to send it back here. And it's just fascinating. So sometimes I really think about the theory. And then other times I throw theory to the wind.
Right.
But I had this one song. Off Always and Forever. It is so good. It's like symphonic. It's supposed to sound like it's coming out of like Phantom of the Opera. You know,
okay,
it's
cool.
Like big. And I was so proud of myself, like how I came up with that song. It was like, I'm using the craziest chord changes and progressions. And, you know, it is not your typical 1-6-4-5.
Right.
Like I am just like balls to the walls, just going for it. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without my knowledge of theory.
Right.
But then I also got, you know, other songs, like most of the songs, I think all the songs I just played today are very basic. And it's just like, what goes with the melody I'm singing?
Right.
And then I just kind of figure it out from there. And I'm using theory without really thinking about it. It's
right.
Like, it's just kind of whatever I like.
Right.
I wrote a punk song that's going to be on the new album. And the guy who I was working with, hated me for it because he's like, these aren't punk chord changes. And I was like, yeah, but they sound good, don't they?
Right.
It's like, that's not what's in punk, but it sounds good,
right.
doesn't it?
Right.
So we're going with it.
Beautiful. How do I, give me your contact information again.
So again, absolutely. So my number is 845-514-4093. Yeah, I'll use this email again. conwalsh1197, conwalsh1197 @gmail.com. Those are the best ways of looking into me. I'm on social media, of course. You know, Connor Walsh Music, Connor, C-O-N-O-R, 1-N-O-R. I know Connor gets butchered all the time. And yeah,
are you on Spotify?
Everything, okay. Everything, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I mean, Apple Music, Bandcamp, Deezer, Tidal, YouTube, whatever. If you want to start anywhere with my music, definitely start with the Always and Forever album. That's, you know, that's my pride and joy. I've had a few singles before and after that, Spend Some Time album. I love the songs on that, but it's a crappy album production wise. I didn't know what I was doing yet.
Right.
And then Away From Home, which was the album that I did in college. Love those songs. Much better production than Spend Some Time, but not quite there.
Right.
But I recommend, if you really want to get to know me and my music, listen to Always and Forever. And then you can backtrack to Away From Home. But yeah, that's where I'd recommend to start.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
No, man, and come back.
I would love to come back.
Beautiful. You want to play us out of here?
You know what? Yes. I'm going to switch guitars real quick.
No problem at all.
I wasn't planning on doing this song, but I think this is the...
The spirit has moved you.
Yes. So I mentioned before I had this song, Spend Some Time. And it kind of became my calling card. And the whole reason why I wrote it was because I wanted a song that I could end a set with or something. And
that's appropriate.
Oh, exactly. So here we are right now. And, you know, this song, you know, is my calling card. I say spend some time at the end of, you know, all my radio things. It's like, stay cool, stay safe. And as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Or if it's In Touch, it's... stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. And, you know, it's always been kind of like a calling card for me, and it's so good. And this song has helped me out in so many ways. It was the first song that I ever got on the radio, on the few radio stations I would play it, but it was the first one, and I love this song so much. And it wasn't written about anybody. It's a love song, but, you know, it's a goodbye song, in a good way. So, John, thanks for letting me spend some time today.
Thank you, brother.
I just want to spend some time with you. Heaven knows what I won't do. It doesn't have to be a date. It doesn't have to be anything. I just want your company and not just another fling. Heaven knows that I've gone through all the turns. Been in the harshest weather, I've suffered all the burns. Sometimes I've gone too fast, others have gone too slow. But tonight I swear I won't let you go. There ain't any other girl that could replace you tonight. To show you love, I don't need to spend a fortune. I just need to spend some time. I just wanna steal some time from you. Connect the pieces of our lives to lead us to the truth. I just want to see the smile since haven't seen it in a while. And how it refused to fade even after all the miles. I will love to taste the passion on your lips. Dance the night away, my hands on your hips. We don't have to say a thing, let the music play.
All I need to know is that you will stay. I don't want to change your world. I don't need to call you mine. To show I care, I don't need to spend a dime. I just need to spend some time. You are too good for me to ever lose. When I look into your eyes, I can't move. Can we just stay in this moment for the rest of our lives? 'Cause I don't wanna say goodbye. I don't want to change your world. I don't need to call you mine. There ain't any other girl that could replace you tonight. To show you love, I don't need to spend a fortune. To show I care, I don't need to spend a dime. I just need to spend some time. I just need to spend some time. John, thanks for spending some time today. I just need to spend some time.